Well, it's 25 minutes after 5 South African time. It's a beautiful Monday morning live on Radio Al Ansar International, live with Merkez Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Of course, today is the 5th of Dhul-Qa'dah, 1443. Let's welcome our beloved, honorable, respected Fadilatul Ustad, Hazrat Maulana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein, Hafizahullah. Ustad, welcome to the Q&A this beautiful Monday morning. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ustad.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته بارك الله فيكم مولانا عرفات جزاك الله خيرا to our technicians brother Junaid Khan and brother Riyaz Hussein نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Rabbi shrah li swadri wa yassir li amri wa ahlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli subhanaka la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana innaka antal alimul hakim. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Today is the 5th of Dhul-Qa'dah, 1443. With the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla, we focus on chapter 21, Suratul Anbiya, the chapter regarding the prophets and messengers, alayhimu salatu salam, peace be upon them. And this particular chapter comprises 112 ayats and verses. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla, who is very, very gracious, very merciful, and you will find this in the beginning of the chapters, 114 chapters in the Noble Quran, in the beginning of 113 chapters, one will find that word and sentence, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala is drawing our attention, because when we come to this world, many a time we are distracted with our activities and get engrossed in things that we're not supposed to be engaged and engrossed in. Hence Almighty Allah teaches us, اِقْتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ حِسَابُهُمْ. It is drawing nearer and nearer for humanity, Muslim, non-Muslim, male and female, who are sane and mature. Hisabuhum, their reckoning and their accountability. So all that is growing nearer and nearer. So each one of us will have to account for our deeds, our actions, our speech during our sojourn, our stay here on this earth. An easy example of this, you know, when we go for international travel, when we travel to overseas, then when we return, though we are reaching that country, there our destination, then you will see the customs officers are waiting. Some are waiting on the side where certain rate, where you have to declare certain items. And on the other side is green. And that is, you don't have to declare anything. So normally we just go through green, because we don't have anything really to declare. So that is the easy way. And when you go through red, then the interrogation starts. So that is what Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. Allahumma hasibna hisabi yasira. O Almighty Allah Jalla wala, make our hisab, our reckoning, our accountability, and very, very easy for us. The hadith is mentioned in Mishkat Sharif, Mustad Ahmad, Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, the honorable wife of the Master, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I hear you reciting this dua so often to teach the Ummah and to teach the people the important significance of it. He, Habibuna, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the messenger of Islam, would say, that zakal arsh, you just show your face and you go through. And when people are interrogated, then remember they will be destroyed, meaning they will fail the test, that when they are going to be asked this question, that question. So that is what we are asking for. But now if you take the world, 7 billion plus people, more than 6 billion are not even interested. Remember, in the year after, they live only for this world, wine, dine and swine culture. اِقْتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ حِسَابُهُمْ. The reckoning is drawing nearer and nearer for humanity. وَهُمْ وَوْحَالِيَّ. Whilst they, this human being, فِي غَفْلَةٍ مُؤْرِدُونَ, they are unmindful and مُؤْرِدُونَ, turning away all the time, further and further away from death and post-death, what will happen. Therefore, we as Muslims, daily we should be reading this dua and supplication. Surah 14, chapter 14, Surah Ibrahim, verse 41, رَبَّنَا فِي لِي, O beloved Allah, forgive me, وَلِي وَالِدَيَّ, and my beloved parents, وَلِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and the believers. We cannot pray for non-Muslims after their death. Like now we pray for them, O Almighty Allah, grant them guidance, show them the true light whilst they are alive. رَبَّنَا فِي لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ. The day the reckoning is established. So that's a wonderful, powerful dua. So each one of us should be thinking and contemplating and reflecting on this. Hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif, حَاسِبُوا قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسَبُوا. Take stock of yourself. Take accountability and reckoning of yourself before the day of reckoning. So that is what the message is of that verse. Regarding international news, there are three main items today. Number one, remember that we find that the BJP government in India, the apartheid government of India, one should say, of Modi, and their policy of Hindu nationalism. So their spokesperson insulted and made derogatory remarks, Allah forbid, Allah forbid, Allah Ta'ala protect us, against the Master Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So some of the Arab countries, Muslim countries, have spoken against it. And remember, like Kuwait, like Oman, like Qatar, and they have said and summoned the ambassador also in some countries of India to tell them this is unacceptable and we will not allow this type of things to continue. The grand Mufti of Oman, Sheikh Ahmed Khalili, who I met personally in Muscat many, many years ago, he issued the fatwa and verdict and said that it's compulsory upon the Muslims there that they must boycott all the Indian products. And not only that, we say what Islam teaches us, Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, Akhrijul Yahud wal Nasara min Jazira Arab. You must expel the Jews and the Christians and obviously the idol worshippers, the Hindus, from the Arab Peninsula. Look at what they are doing there to the Muslims in India, demolishing our mosque, and now they want to demolish Taj Mahal as well. So many atrocities and war crimes and genocide has started already in India. So we hope and pray that the Arab region, at least some of them, will have have the guts to kick out, you must remember the Hindus and tell them you must go packing. It's already happening that they're firing them from their jobs and so forth, because remember, they are the people who vote for this government. So when you are voting for the government, any Muslim you find, you assault him or you tell them nonsense because your government is with you, your army and police is with you. So why must we keep them there? You expel them and kick them out. So that will be the Islamic law in that case there, and there's no need to apologize to anybody. Then we go, remember, to Iran, and we go to other countries. That is a shaitan. His name is Yasir Habib. Actually, his name should be called Yasir Shaitan, Lucifer. He made a film, and he is the big architect behind this, Lady in Heaven. Allah forbid, Allah forbid, Nakale Kufr, Kufr Mabashid, where he is insulting and making derogatory remarks against our mother, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, the honorable wife and spouse of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, against the greatest companions and students of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman radiallahu anhum. So we say loudly, clearly and boldly, any person who insults the wives of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, Sayyida Hafsa radiallahu anha, or Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman, or any other companion, remember they're out of the fold of Islam, and Almighty Allah jalla wala has mentioned this in the Noble Quran, chapter 9, verse 79. Almighty Allah said regarding the Sahaba, the beloved students and companions of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in chapter 57, verse 10, وَكُلَّوْ وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى, for them, Almighty Allah, for each one of them, Allah has promised them Jannat al-Firdaus and paradise. And remember that the Shias, we must be clear on this, they're out of the fold of Islam for various multiple reasons, but for you, that the public, easy to understand, when people are cursing, castigating the household of Nabi alayhi salatu salam, the greatest companions, and remember they promote muta and prostitution, as Khomeini wrote in his Tawdihul Masail, which I have. So he said you can make muta, prostitution, for 1 hour. So such people might have Islamic names, Muslim names, but they're not Muslim, they're out of the fold of Islam. Look at the shame and the disgrace of the Arab bootleggers. Therefore, I told you that such people can never be Muslim. Our worst enemy, Quran Sharif has taught us, chapter 5, verse 82, the last page of the six Jews, the six Subara, لَتَجِدَنَّ أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ عَدَاوَةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الْيَهُودَ وَالَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا. Your worst enemies are the Jews and the idol worshippers, and that refers to the Hindus. We don't say every Hindu or every Jew, we will say majority of them, and you can see what's happening in Israel, the Nazi regime and Nazi tactics, and apartheid India, what's happening. Now in Abu Dhabi, as you say, they allow the rabbi there to deliver a Jummah khutbah and pre-Jummah talk. What an indictment. These are the people killing, murdering our people in Palestine, stealing, occupying our land, and you give them place and space in your country and in your mosque as well, and you call it the Grand Mosque, remember that. So such people are murtad, out of the fold of Islam, the authorities who allow all these type of things, and it is just to bootlick and curry favor with the apartheid Nazi regime of Israel, and to bootlick the Americans. So imagine, they will not allow Tabligh Jamaat, they will not allow people who speak the truth, but these war criminals and these people who encourage the criminals, they will allow them. What an indictment that is. Inshallah, Al-Aziz, today 8:30, Mona Zahid Khan and myself will be discussing my various travels to various countries. Then between 1 and 2 will be the tafsir of Noble Quran. And inshallah, 8 to 10 tonight will be the Q&A live with Mona Arafat Hatia and myself. Make dua for us and the Ummah at large.
Somebody is saying, Ustad, could you please tell Mufti Saab they want all learners from grade 8 to 12 to take the COVID vaccine? My daughter is in grade 12. What should I do, Ustad?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Our fatwa and verdict is well known that first and foremost, this is not a pandemic, it's a plandemic and a scamdemic. And you can see the president himself, how many scandals he's involved in, money and millions and thousands under the mattress, in the mattress, in the farm, and what is going on. So they should rather focus on all the corruption and crime in the country than going to tell people to do this. Remember, no one can impose upon you that you must take the vaccine and so forth. You as parents must all stand up. You as the governing body of the school, you must stand up and you must say we are prepared to go to court and so forth. But the question will arise again, what need is there for you to send your children to the high school and to send them to university and college and so forth, where you have such a toxic environment, haram environment, every vice is committed there, drugs are there, running brothels there, and so many things are happening in majority of the schools. So you must study via correspondence. We're not against education, we're against the toxic environment which prevails in majority of the schools.
I see Brother Frederick Sustad, he's saying hi to you and to the team of Ansar. He says, hey, you heard crime stats from January to March show that Police Minister Mbeki Ntsele is not winning the fight against crime. He must go. Ustad, Fredericks.
Remember that it's not only he must go. If you look at the cabinet, South Africa has one of the biggest and bloated cabinet in the world. Where in the world you find two ministers of education? Where you find such incompetent ministers, remember, who can't even read looking inside properly? So, I mean, let us be honest. No sense telling us that you have to pay 25 rand a liter for petrol and everything then goes, you know, into inflation with a knock-on effect. But you yourself are just getting fatter with the big wigs and so forth. So remember what Tutu said, we agree 100%. Under apartheid, which was a crime against humanity, was the gravy train. And now from 94 onwards, we see the gravy plane and it's just increasing. So therefore, they waste their time. They tell you they're fighting crime and so forth, and you look at your constitution, remember that. What good is that constitution that cannot help the citizens but will help the criminals? You shoot somebody who entered your yard, and because he's going to steal or murder, they will charge you, and the victim will have more rights than you. So what good is such a constitution? So therefore, remember, it's a losing battle. Your economy is going downwards. Your medical is going downwards. Your education is going down. So everything is going in the direction of a failed state. And crime and corruption is the order of the day. Only Almighty Allah, Jalla wa Ala, help us, my brother Fredericks.
Ustad, there's a brother from UK, and he says that please inform Mufti Saab about the movie My Lady Heaven. Ustad, about Bibi
Fatima. Yes, we spoke about all this already, so you must remember, every Muslim must condemn it, and all of you who are sitting on the fence, when you sit on the fence, then you are committing a major offense. You must say that the Shias are out of the fold of Islam, and any person, any organization, any government that promotes that, remember that those people also will be out of the fold of Islam. And those who don't want to comment on that, then you must visit your iman. What answer will you give to the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam? When I say don't comment on it, meaning publicly. So what answer will you give to the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam when his honorable wife was maligned, castigated and criticized? What answer will we give when we stand in front of Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman, there in Madinah, radiallahu anhu majma'in? So all of us must defend, I said it yesterday, namus sahaba ka tahaffuz karna wajib or farz, to protect the honor and dignity of the sahaba, the beloved students, companions of the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is compulsory.
Somebody says, Ustad, Iran is out of the fold of Islam. Why are they they allowed to go for Hajj, Ustad.
Remember Hajj today, the person who's running Hajj is out of the fold of Islam. What you think MBS is Muslim? A person, remember, who burns namaz in Medina Munawwara, a person who rejects Hadith, a person who locks up the Imam of the Haram, a person who murders thousands of people and innocent people in Yemen, a person who sacrificed and made Qurbani of Jamal Khashoggi, Muslim all these people. MBS stands for Murtad bin Shaitan. He himself is out of the fold of Islam. They use Islam and just play politics with it.
Somebody says, did Mufti Sahib know about the Jewish Rabbi Ali Abadi? He prayed.
We answered all these questions already in the introduction. I told you it must be condemned, you must remember. And the other shaitan there in Emirates, MBZ, is another Murtad also. That Murtad bin Zakum. One is MBS, Murtad bin Shaitan. And other one is MBZ, is Murtad bin Zakum. Zakum is the tree in Jahannam for Abu Jahl. These people are following in that path. They will end up with Abu Jahl in Jahannam and hellfire until and they make repent publicly and so forth. That is a different issue.
Somebody says, Ustad, I have been accredited for Hajj and my zakat is due. I am short of some money. Can I delay my zakat and pay it after Hajj, Ustad?
Not permissible. Remember that you have to pay the agent. The entry level is 110,000, 113,000. So you can see how expensive Hajj is. Now you have to pay zakat as well. So you have to pay your zakat immediately. To delay and defer the payment of zakat, 100,000, you have to pay 2,500. So that is how 2.5% zakat, compulsory charity. So cry to Almighty Allah, Jalla Wala, Ya Allah, I'm paying my zakat. And you promised us, Ya Allah, wa ma aataytum min zakatin turiduna wajha Allah, fa ulaikamul mud'ifun, that whosoever pays their zakat, for the love and pleasure of Almighty Allah, Jalla Wala, Almighty Allah will then multiply it many, many fold. Surah Rum, chapter number 30 and verse number 39. So you must pay your zakat immediately, my brother, and then you proceed for your Hajj. Allah Jalla Wala will make the means. Read the Asma'ul Husna. See, I tell you a story. Yesterday afternoon when I did the Q&A with Hafiz Hussein Wadi, there was one question that the person said he's got back pain and a lot of pain in his spine and so forth. So I told him, give out charity, read the verses and read Surah Alam Nashrah abundantly. At night he contacted me, one brother. He told me, you know, I was hearing your Q&A and I read Surah Alam Nashrah. Lo and behold, immediately my back pain, everything disappeared. This is last night. His phone just to tell me, Jazakallahu khairan. So we must have that conviction. Allah will make the arrangements. So read the 99 beautiful names of Almighty Allah. Read Ya Wahhabu abundantly. Ya Allah, you are the best giver. Ya Fattahu, Ya Fattah. Ya Allah, you open all the doors, remove the obstacles. So beg Allah. Don't go back, people, and Almighty Allah Jalla Wala will open all the doors. He's making you his mehman, his guest. He's making you the guest of Mustafa Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he will make all the arrangements as well, my brother.
I see you've got a new listener, Ustad, by the name of Paresh. He says, good morning, sir, to you and to the team. My brother was cremated on Saturday. I can hear his screams in my dream, but I can't bring him back. What to do, how to do, and what to do to cool the fire for him? Paresh, Ustad.
Paresh, you must remember you are in Pareshani. So Paresh, in Pareshani means now you are in a state of worry, sorry, and anxiety. You see, my brother Paresh, that in Islam, when you ask me questions, I will always answer you according to what Islam teaches us. No person, no government, no organization is allowed to punish people with fire. La tu'azib bin nar. The hadith, the saying, teaching, preaching of Rahmatul lil Alameen Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes, who will punish with the fire? Only the Rabbun nar, the one who created the fire. He is the one who will punish and send people to Jahannam and the hellfire. Therefore, in Islam, cremating is totally haram and is not an option at all. And in Islam, we only bury people. Remember that, and that is we pray, Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala grants them straight entry into Jannat al-Firdaus, into paradise, the higher stages, and protect them from the hellfire and so forth. So what can you do now? Islamically, you can't do anything. The person passed away as a non-Muslim, worshipping idols, and he was not worshipping Almighty Allah alone. You have to worship Almighty Allah only, and there is no intermediary that you say he or she is equal to Allah or the son of Allah or daughter of Allah. So now you are seeing this. So what message is coming to you, my brother Paresh, to take you out, my brother Paresh, from your Pareshani and your worry, sorry, and anxiety? You should be asking, do you want to be cremated? Do you want to go through all this pain and screaming, shouting, and so forth? No. Your dream is already showing you. So you are an intelligent person and you must take your decision. The doors are open for anybody who is sincere. If and when you want to embrace Islam, we are prepared to help you. We never impose Islam upon anybody, but we will always present to you Islam, because Islam is the best and we want to share it with the rest. And if and when a person becomes Muslim, now I just return from the Lowveld, Nelspruit, Barberton, White River, Malalan, Komatipur. Inshallah Aziz, today between 2 and 2:30, I will have the report back of all these places we visited in the past few days. The point I want to make, so some people ask me, they want to embrace Islam or so forth. So what must they do? We explain to them and then we inform them and the authorities. You must have some document that upon your death, if you have embraced Islam, then you must be buried as a Muslim. No one has the right to cremate you. No one has the right to bury you in a Christian cemetery or Jewish cemetery or Hindu cemetery. No. So it's compulsory upon the Muslim who's born Muslim and those who embrace Islam that they must inform people, and especially those who embrace Islam must sign the document that they will be buried according to the Islamic teachings and preaching. Allah Ta'ala guide you, brother Paresh.
Ameen, ameen. So can I give out food to the poor before my nikah, or must it be later, Ustad?
Remember, one is you are getting married this week, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So wherever it is, for example, so now you are worried everything must go smooth and so forth. So daily, you who are getting married this week, next month, read 2 rakat salat, pray 2 units, always read Surah chapter 25, verse 74, Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata. Oh, beloved Allah, grant us our spouses and grant us our children that are the coolness of the eyes. وَاجْعَلْنَا لِمُتَّقِينَ imama, and make us the leader of the pious people. So that is what you should do. You want to give out charity, so voluntary charity, you give out to anybody, Muslim or non-Muslim, who are poor. So that's good anytime. If you are speaking of the Walima, see this week here, Friday is our Haji Muhammad Ikhlas of the Capital Group. His son, mashallah, Hafiz Umar, will be getting married after Asr. So, mashallah, so now they have a, for example, after Asr is the Nikah. Then at night they want the Walima, or the next day they want Walima. So that is now after the husband and wife have met and so forth. It's not necessary to consummate the marriage. It is just that you must remember that they meet and it's sufficient. So that is Walima. Walima will take place, you must remember, after the Nikah and not before. So what you want to do now, remember, is only voluntary charity. And for you in Durban, inshallah, I will be there Thursday night, and Isha program on Thursday night will be in Osterwald, and the Jamaat Salat there for Isha is 7 o'clock, and this Friday, Jummah, I will be there in Randall's Road, inshallah, and Masjid Nurul Huda for the Jummah, and then Asr time we will be there, inshallah, in Masjid Hilal for the Nikah of Hafiz Umar, the son of, mashallah, Haji Muhammad Ikhlas, and mashallah, the capital family. Allah Jalla Wala bless this Nikah and marriage, and bless them with pious children and offspring. We make dua for them and the entire family.
So, Ustaz, can I go for Hajj on borrowed money? What if I die there? Who pays for me, Ustaz?
Remember, we will not encourage people to take loan from here and there and everywhere to go for Hajj and pilgrimage, because Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us, Man istata'a ilayhi sabila, that whosoever has the means to go there. So Hajj is not compulsory upon every Muslim. Only those who have the means. For example, you have minimum 150,000, 200,000 per person. Nowadays, that is South African currency, and this is enshrined in the noble Quran, Surah 3, Surah Al Imran, verse 97. So each one of us should know that it is not something that we should do. My advice to you will be that if you want to take a loan or something, then speak to your brother, sister, parents, or somebody, your family members, so they know your assets, your liabilities, and so forth. So if you pass away there in Makkah, Medina, wherever, there during a Hajj or before Hajj, then first will be burial, funeral expenses from your estate. Second will be the debts of the deceased. Third one will be to a wasiyah that you bequeath for somebody or some organization, and the maximum amount is 1/3 of the net estate. And fourth will be the shares of the heirs. So first will be, no, you should not take loans. Second one, if you took the loan, then rather do so with a near family member, then they can negotiate and so forth, you know, the times of payment in the case if you pass away. So try and beg Almighty Allah, you still have time, and you know today the Hajj, they are, the government, Saudi regime is really fleecing the people. If you want upgrade from the normal Hajj to special services, 86,000 rand per person for that 5-6 days. What corruption is going on? What zulm, oppression, transgression? Almighty Allah guide them to the truth, and Almighty Allah protect the Haramain Sharifain and Masjidul Aqsa and all our mosques and masajid.
I see we have Brother Prigasan. He says, good morning, sir. I am amazed at how my newborn baby calls the name Allah Allah. My wife teaches maths at the Islamic school, and they have madrasa in the next class. My baby was born speaking these words. Amazing how a baby can hear sounds inside mommy's tummy. Brother Prigasan, Ustad.
100%, my brother Prigasan, what you should do is always go to the Quran Sharif, the noble Quran, glorious Quran. That is the direct speech of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. And Almighty Allah informs us, Sanurihim ayatina fil afaq wa fi anfusihim. So soon we will show you more and more signs that on the horizon in the creation, wa fi anfusihim, and with in yourselves, that you yourself will recognize the signs of Almighty Allah, hatta yatabayyana lahum annahu al-haq, till it becomes manifest to them that only Almighty Allah is the truth, not all the semi-gods, demigods and idols. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, is, will always be the truth, the final messenger and prophet of Allah. The Quran Sharif is the truth. Go open, my brother Prigasan, chapter 41, Surah Hamim As-Sajda, and right in the ending of the chapter, verse 53. So chapter 41 and verse 53. So that's a message, your son, your beloved daughter, Allah Ta'ala protect them from all min kulli su wa makruh. Allah Ta'ala let him develop into a pious child and become an ambassador of Islam. He, your son, daughter, is already inviting you as parents towards Islam, and Islam will prevail in the whole world. So inshallah we will leave it there.
One, and,
Okay, quickly.
Can I propose to my cousin's wife? She is still in Iddat. He passed on in a car accident in May. Ustad.
Remember, you cannot propose all that is haram. Quran says, وَلَا تَعَزِمُوا أُقْدَةَ النِّكَاهِ حَتَّى يَبْلُغَ الْكِتَابُ أَجَلًا. When that brother passed away, Allah grant him Jannat al-Firdaus al-A'la, paradise. Amen. And you, the widow, your Iddat from time of death is 130 days, 130 days. So when that is finished, then you, the suitor, then you can go and propose. But you want to now go the other way around, and you, the suitor, you want to become the sharpshooter. So remember, propose while she's in Iddat, not permissible. Wait till after that, and then you propose, she's happy, her family is happy, then you get married, no problem, inshallah. Right, Jazakallah khair, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.